I'm logged in, but the show is on.
Blog Talk okay. Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello and welcome to the show. Nicole is trying to log in. We've had a little technical difficulty on Blog Talk Radio, which is not unusual, so hopefully she'll be joining me shortly. Anyway, I can see that my husband, who is sailing, is on the line, and we'll start with him, and hopefully by then Nicole will be on there. Hi, TJ. How are you today?
Fine. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can. How are you?
All over. I'm fine. I'm in from sailing. It was a beautiful day. I'm heading your way. I hope you have a really good show. Everything went sweet. The weather's beautiful. It's a beautiful day right now. And I know you have wonderful callers waiting, so I'll see you when I, when the time you said to get home. And have a great show. I love you a lot. Did you get my message today?
Yes, I did, and thanks so much. And hopefully Nicole will be able to help me with the call soon.
All right, well, you want me to kill, I meant to, by the way, Cindy has a new book out, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, which is, she also has written Grant Me a Higher Love. Both are available on Amazon.com. And they're really excellent efforts, and I think you should at least go over to the website and look at them. I think you can learn a lot just by the free pages. They're also in Kindle, and I think the newer book is also in Voicebook.
It's on audiobook.
I don't know.
And the website is grantmeahigherlove.com.
I want everyone to know that I never mentioned that I've written a novel that's out there, but this is about Cindy. I love her. All right, you have a good show, sweets. Be good.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now, we have a couple of listeners, and let me see if I can get them in. We still don't have Nicole, but I'm going to go over to a 516-589 number, and you're live and on the air. Hi, it's Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Cindy. Good evening. Thank you for taking my
You're welcome. We're like a little frantic here because Blog Talk sometimes keeps, knocking us off the air, so we're glad we got through to you anyway. So.
Oh, I'm so grateful. This couldn't have come at a better time. This is Eleanor. I called in a few months ago. I don't know if you remember me.
Oh, sure. Yes. Why don't you just let our listeners know a little bit about you?
Okay. Well, let me see. I'm a professional female who I think, in reading your book is a great, I'm guilty of being a great enabler. And, I took a break from my boyfriend. He came back into my life with promises of change and,
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes. He came back with promises of change and?
And to his credit, he started therapy and he loves it. But I just want to an idea of what you're picking up because I'm feeling like there's an old pattern coming through. I'm very frightened.
Okay, and people wake up, certain people wake up when the gun's at their head, which means you didn't want him, you broke up with him, and that was a gun on his head. and he knew that he couldn't come back without going to therapy, and so, of course, that's what he was doing. But I'm seeing that he's still a pretty manipulative guy. He's learning some new tricks here, but I hope you're watching your back with him. Are you watching your back a little bit?
In what sense?
In the sense that he can tell you what you want to hear, but it doesn't mean there's great big deep changes going on here. I'm not saying he's not making his efforts, but, you know, certain people can't really change. Their nature of their personality makes it difficult to change. I think he's trying, at least on the surface, to make you happy. But, you know, he's getting a little scared. I mean, does he talk to you about what he's learning in therapy at all?
Well, we've tried, you know, couples, you know, but he, you know, I've left him alone. He's been doing individual counseling, and he now loves it after fighting me and not wanting to go. He now wants it and embraces it. But I'm really scared because we had an argument over the weekend, and he's pushing me away again. And I don't know if this is the end again, and if it is, I just can't keep going back to the same pattern, you know, where
he
walks away.
You know, he has commitment issues.
I know.
And, you know, at this point, what happens is when people get toward a breakthrough in therapy, sometimes they want to run away. They don't, and love brings up unhealed issues. And, you know, at this point, you might have to be firm with him that every time, you know, there's an issue, he can't run away and say, I can't do this. And,
right.
You know, I'm just afraid you're going to get hurt because the card that I got is he's turning his back on love. And he'll run. He'll blame it on you. I mean, sometimes therapy can give narcissists some more tools to manipulate. So,
right.
You know, he's scared. Certain things are surfacing. But did you make it clear to him that he can't keep coming and going and leaving every time there's an issue?
Yes, and I actually haven't heard from him in 2 days. He asked for space, and I've been giving it to him as hard as it is, and I don't know what's going through his head, if he's already closed off on me, and, you know, if I call, he's going to end it. You know, I'm kind of in limbo.
And again, 2 days without speaking and communicating doesn't show to me this man has changed from therapy. I mean, that's showing he wants to control everything. And,
right.
You know, if there's issues, people have to communicate and talk. I mean, pretty much what he's letting you know is if you do something he doesn't like, he's just not going to talk to you for days on end. And
right.
That's a pattern that was there prior to the therapy, correct?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, and just, you know, if you're afraid to call him because he's going to break up with you, that doesn't seem right. It seems like he's still the master over you. You're afraid
right.
to, you know, he's calling all the shots. It's his way or no way. And, you know, I'm sure he missed you. I'm not saying that you guys didn't start out as soulmates. I know he cares about you. But this isn't healthy. People can't, you know, you've been sitting sick to your stomach for 2 days over this.
Right.
And, you know, that's not healthy. When people have a relationship, it should be, okay, we had a difference and we can talk. And, you know, he's kind of letting you know it's his way or no way. And,
right.
You know, in the past, what was your main issue with him?
That he couldn't, you know, separate. You know, he has an ex-wife who he's completely enabling because she can't, quote-unquote, do anything for herself. And she's got his kids, and he's not raising his kids. He's raising his kids in her house, and I've been trying to work on him to take his children and raise them outside of her house.
Right, and of course,
he
if he's still living in the same house with this woman.
He owns his own house, yeah.
Okay, but they're in the same house together?
No, he owns his own house in a different town, and he just doesn't take his children. He just doesn't, he doesn't want the responsibility of being a full-time dad. He takes them for maybe, 2 hours at a time, a couple of days a week, just to dinner kind of thing. And I've told him, that's not acceptable. You need to take them away. They need to come over to your house for dinner. You know, I think he still wants that on his terms, you know?
Well, you have to know that this is a man that, He doesn't want to really grow up.
Right.
And, you know, having a mature relationship is something he doesn't know how to do. I mean, him and his ex-wife, when I could see in these cards, looked like they had some pretty wicked fights. And he
yep.
stayed with her a long time back and forth because he has his own anger issues. And toxic love serves a purpose. He could rage with her and she deserved it, but, you know, he can deal with that. He can't deal with when you try to talk to him like a grown-up. It makes him run away, but it's, if he's going to run away from you and not talk to you for 2 days when something happens, that doesn't show he's made some big changes. It just shows that he's going to let you know he calls all the shots and it's his way or no way.
Right.
So, you know, you might, you know, I don't know how long you want to sit and not talk to about this, but, you know, if you call him and you're afraid he's going to break up with you, well, you're practicing denial about not calling him. I mean, you have to speak to him. It's not, there's nothing that you can do. You can't be waiting for a week for him to call you back and act like nothing happened.
No, I'm not waiting. I'm just, you know, I'm giving space so that, you know, I can decide if I want to end it, you know, or, you know, I guess I'm taking the time to think myself what I really want and giving him the time to cool off when he's stressed out. You know,
but he doesn't know how to have a disagreement like a grown-up. He knows how to have a temper tantrum. He knows how to do the silent treatment. But that's something that he's going to have to work on, that if there's an issue, you can't just run away.
Right.
And, you know, you're trying, in some ways you're going to have to maybe step away from his relationship with his children. They are his children. The way he wants to raise them is his choice. And maybe he doesn't want you interfering with that at this point. I mean, whether you're right or not, they are his kids.
Right. Well, the problem is that, you know, his daughter plays professional sports, and because of the expense, he travels with his ex-wife in the same vehicle, and they share room just to sleep in. Nothing, you know, nothing going on. Just, you know,
Well, why do they both have to travel with her? Why can't one travel at one time?
Well, when we got back together, they've been traveling separately, but I don't know if it's going to happen again.
Again, it's not healthy if they travel together and they stay in a room. It's mixed messages to the children as well.
I've said that to him. You know, this has been a bone of contention, but I guess what I'm asking is, you know, I don't know what he's thinking or seeing right now. Is he ready to sever this off? Because if not, I'm just going to walk away.
It looks like he's just turning his back on you. It doesn't look like he wants to sever it, but he's beginning to realize, you know, healing's hard work. And, you know, him and his ex-wife are so dysfunctional. Maybe he's not ready to give up on the dysfunction there.
Right.
And there looks like, you know, if the daughter is going to have something coming up soon that she's going to be traveling with? Because it looks like something here is coming up soon.
Yeah, she's always traveling.
So, you know, maybe he just wants to go travel with her and the wife, ex-wife now, and this way he doesn't bring it up to you. But that issue's still there between him and his ex-wife, so, you know, you'd have to accept the way it is. I mean, he wants you, but he doesn't want to make the real changes necessary.
Right.
And, you know, when he talks with his ex-wife where they're together, they get really, really pretty dysfunctional with showing up in these cards. So,
yep.
You know, it's almost like he gets, roped back into the nonsense. So not much has changed. I mean, the therapy might be something that could eventually help him, but right now it looks like, you know, you're going to have to, you know, nothing's really changed is what I could see in these cards. It's you.
Is this the right fit for a therapist? Is this the right fit for a therapist? I got him.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he's, you know, learning something in therapy. But the point is, hearing what somebody says and executing it. I'm not seeing him really executing even the changes that the therapist asked him to do.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, you know, he doesn't look like he wants to speak to you anytime soon, and you know, he might call you in a few days, but at this point, let it cool off. But, you know, you got him and his ex-wife and the kids and the dysfunction if you take him on. And maybe that's a cross you don't want to carry. How old is his daughter?
She's 12.
Okay. I mean, this is something that's going to be there for some time. So,
yeah.
And the daughter manipulates him, too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, she wants mommy and daddy in the room and with her. And it's really, all I'm seeing is a lot of dysfunction here. So he wants you, but he wants the dysfunction too. What he wants is his cake and eat it too. He wants to be able to go there, pretend they're a family for this, and then come back to you. He's kind of torn. He's, you know, he's looks like he's genuinely got a good heart, but
yeah, he does.
But he just doesn't. He just wants to please everybody, and ultimately, he's pleasing nobody here. So, you know, be a little patient with him, not forever. You opened it up again and see what happens. But his family, he's too manipulated by his wife and his ex-wife and his daughter at this point. So, you know, you'd have to accept that this is the way it is with him. And I don't know if you can do that. It wasn't bad that you gave him another chance. It looks like you had to, and but nothing significantly has changed. The same issues that were there are there. So, you know, he hasn't figured out a way to live with you and with his ex in a, you know, a grown-up way.
She's never moved on. They've been divorced close to 8 years now, and she's never moved on, hasn't dated, it's been for everything. And it just
well, he's allowed it, and he's enabled her, and she's threatened by you, and she'll call him even more, but he's allowed that monster to be created, and it's not that she hasn't moved on, he hasn't moved on.
Right.
And whether she wants to move on or not, it's not his problem, you know, and he's enabled her, and he hasn't moved on either. It's really, truly toxic love with that unconscious contract, no matter what you do or I do, we don't abandon each other. So the two of them are kind of still steeped in dysfunction. So
they want each other back or no? They're just,
they don't want
know.
Each other back. It's a love-hate relationship, but she just doesn't want to move on. So, you know, he's enabled it. He hasn't made clear boundaries. You don't sleep in a room with someone who still wants you as a relationship. That's a pretty big mixed message there. I don't care how much money you're saving.
Wait, you're saying that she wants to be in the room with him? She wants him?
Well, she wants to be in the same room with him. I don't think they ever had a great sex life to begin with, so it's not like she wants that, but having him in the room with her and gives the illusion they're still a family.
Right.
It's just not a healthy thing. He hasn't moved on either, so not fully. You know, he still feels guilty. She pushes his guilt buttons. So I don't see that he's changed significantly. It's not that he's bad. It's not that he's, you know, anything like that. It's just that he's knee-deep in this mess. So if you can accept the mess, then it's okay. But I'm not seeing him changing at this point.
Right.
And if you say anything, you look like the bad guy.
Right.
So it's hard for you. You look like the bitch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know that it's not healthy. He's in the room with her. It's mixed messages.
Right.
So, you know, they've always been this love-hate for a long time. It was like that when they were married. 8 years is a long time if they're still enmeshed. I know they have children, but she could not get in him and wheedle her way into his life if he weren't allowing it. And I'm sure his daughter likes it, but, you know, see what happens. Call in next week. I just think that he's going to tell you, I can't do this. I can't be torn between my daughter and you. And he still needs to, like, make it clear what his relationship with his ex-wife is. And that's that she's the mother of his children. But he doesn't have to run there and help her every minute.
You're thinking he's going to say that he can't do this in a couple
of
days.
Looks like he doesn't want to be torn between his child and you. And I don't think you're making him make that decision. I just think any woman would make him make this decision, you know.
Right.
So, again, the ex-wife hasn't moved on. She's hoping to sabotage this relationship. Because when he doesn't have a relationship, he really is there a lot, helping and running around and doing things. She doesn't
right.
care if they sleep together. She doesn't care of anything. She just wants him there. So, you know, if she sabotages this, he comes there to watch TV or just do things with the kids or whatever. So she knows what she's doing, and he's being manipulated by her.
She wants to live in that house or to be around her?
She doesn't care. She just settled for whatever he'll throw her way. It's really, they were very dysfunctionally married, and they're very dysfunctional now. So
right.
She doesn't know any other way. I'm not saying, she would take him back any way he would give it. She just doesn't want him moving on and having you. So she'll sabotage it all she can. And he's not clear that he's not married to her anymore. Like, he hasn't really psychologically divorced her yet. Most people psychologically divorce, stay married for a long time, and then they finally actually divorce. He didn't do the psychological divorce yet, which means he's not married to her. He doesn't owe her anything other than to be the father of the children. And he's not clear on that. There's lots of
right.
mixed messages in these cards, and that's what's making you crazy.
It's making me crazy.
I mean, you can understand he has children. He's trying to do what's right. He's enabling. He's, you know, loyal to a fault, but the woman hasn't moved on because she thinks of, you know, eventually they could get back together. And obviously he gives her enough reason to believe that, which means by sleeping in the same room with her, that's a pretty good sign, don't you think?
Right. I thought she hated him and wanted to move on. You know, that was my thought.
That she wanted him to move on?
Yeah.
No.
Well, of course she's going to say that.
Right. Nicole, you jump in. You know what I'm talking about. She doesn't want him to move on.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And the entire thing, I mean, now keep in mind we were having technical difficulties, so I missed the very, very beginning. But from everything that I've heard for the last, you know, 5-8 minutes or so, this entire thing is reeking of 100% absolute commitment phobia and it's most definitely on his part. You know, he is not making that. I understand when you have children, you know, that obviously there's always going to be a part of you that's going to be attached to the mother of those children. And nobody is taking that away from him. But you can still be a good father and not be as emotionally invested in with the mother as he is being. Okay? It's literally like they have a sexless marriage right now. You know, you do not stay in your ex, especially when you're involved with somebody, you don't stay in the same room with them. I don't care how much money you're spending, you're saving on that. And you know what? In all actuality, whether she's 12 years old or whether she's 20 years old, there's no need for them to be traveling together, and there is no need for them to be engaging in this together. Either the mother should go or he should go. There should be no reason for the two of them to be there. They don't have to be there. You know, I mean, for the kids' sake, if you want to go, fine. But you know what? You keep those things separate. You do not keep this whole family front up and in everybody's faces, because you know what? That doesn't tell the child that the marriage is over. That doesn't tell the spouse that the marriage is over. And it certainly doesn't tell you.
It doesn't
that
tell
the person
the neighborhood.
That you're involved with. You know, it doesn't tell the people that the person, you as the person that's involved with him, that it's over. You know, and he wants you to accept something that's completely unreasonable to ask anybody. You know, and
right.
what it sounds like to me is that, yeah, he, you know, I'm sure that he cares about you, and I'm sure that you know, he likes to be with you, if not loves you, but at the same time, though, he's not willing to take a step away from that. He's keeping one foot with you where it's fun and it's light and he can do what he wants and he can be free from that whole other life, but he's got one foot over there, too, where whenever he does want that and he doesn't want to feel like, oh, I'm the bad father that's leaving the family, that he can easily just jump right back into that role and be guilt-free. And the only one that's suffering for it here is that child and you. Because he's having his cake and he gets to eat it too. The ex-wife, who probably is not really happy that it's over, who will take him in any capacity that she probably can, you know, is happy because he's around more. And the bottom line is she's probably one of the biggest manipulators out of this whole thing, because, of course, she's going to say, oh, no, move on, honey, move on. I want you to be happy, as long as happy is here with me and your daughter. So go out and do what you have to do, as long as you come back to me and your daughter. You know, there's a complete underlying manipulation there. And I've been in relationships like that where it's like, well, I don't want you, but I don't want anybody else to want you. But as soon as somebody else wants you, you have to come running back to me.
Right.
And she said it clear. And what I was seeing in these cards is just they have not psychologically divorced.
No.
And if he's doing this.
This is almost like foreplay. I almost feel like this is like some sort of a game of who wants who more. you know, where unfortunately you're caught in the middle of this whole thing. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to be married, and I don't want to be with you. Well, you know what? I don't want to be married. I don't want to be with you. But yet you're forcing each other to be together in a capacity that is just completely inappropriate for people that are no longer together.
Right.
So be firm on it, and, you know, this is not a thing that you can really negotiate on. It's something that gives mixed messages to anybody she goes to school with, anywhere. Nobody
knows. You're not asking him. You are not, the bottom line here is that you are not asking him to pick between you and his child, because his child should always come first. No matter how great of a person you are, his child should always come first. Okay, his children should always come first. You know, once you become a parent, you give up the right to have anybody else be number one in your life. Your children always come first, period. But you're not asking him to pick between you and his kids. You're asking him to pick between you and his ex-wife.
I mean,
and that should be a no contest.
This has always been a hard no for 3 years.
Yeah.
And that's why it's 3 years. You've been patient for 3 years.
Exactly.
It's too long. It's too long.
And
I know
what? Things happen in threes, fives, and sevens. So you know what? Maybe this is your end. Because otherwise, if you don't put your foot down now, you're going to spend another 2 years going through exactly what you've gone, what you went through for the last three.
And
it's
know that
when tug of war.
Someone doesn't want the divorce the way she may not have wanted it. I know with my ex-husband, I could have done anything. Could have drawn any, said anything, and he would have accepted it. He just didn't want me to not be in his life. And that's not healthy.
Nope.
So that, you know, this is something that she will compromise and accept whatever level he'll give her, but it's not healthy. Well, call in again and let us know. We're going to try to take some other callers, but, you know, your gut on it is the old pattern still there. He has not broken away.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
Good
luck to you, and let us know what happens.
I appreciate it.
Bye. Bye. It's so hard when the lines get all mucked up and messed, isn't it?
I know. You know, and I feel bad that I had to be abrasive, and I was just saying that earlier that I.
You know what? It's so funny. I couldn't say it as harsh as you. I was tiptoeing around it, and I needed you to step in and be the hard one.
Well, I kind of got that. I was
I
like,
love
sitting
Eleanor.
Here biting my tongue.
The sweetest little thing, and I wanted to tell her it all worked out, but
I know.
Wasn't the way it was
I was sitting
look.
Here biting my tongue, like, oh my God. I'm like, Cindy. I'm like, just say it, so I don't have to say it. And you weren't saying it, so I had to. But you know what? It's like I don't want to be abrasive just for the sake of being abrasive. You know, I mean, the only reason why I said it to her is the way that I did is because if she loves this guy and he's just not going to come around in the capacity that she needs, she shouldn't have to settle for less. She should not have to settle just like the wife is settling for what he gives. Who is this guy, Adonis, that the wife is just going to take whatever scraps he throws, and now she's going to take whatever scraps he throws? No, it shouldn't be that way. She
well,
deserves somebody
commitment
that's going through.
Phobia. He's got one foot here, one foot there, but not 2 feet anywhere.
Exactly.
So, again, I'm glad you stepped in because it's been a long day for me delivering a lot of hard messages. You know, anyway, I could see Diane sent me an email. And I want to tell you that Diane keeps canceling her appointments. And I, you know, was wondering if she's canceling them because she didn't want to hear what I was going to say about her back with her ex.
Oh, boy.
And she did send me an email that, you know, well, I'll let her tell it. But I'm not surprised by this email, Diane. So put
well,
Diane,
yes,
I
well,
love Diane, by the way. Put Diane
well,
on.
I know that you love Diane. I will definitely put Diane on. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
You're on here.
Hi. I was
Diane.
Listening to you guys in the living room. I put you on speaker while I was running around doing some stuff, and
you're
I was listening to what you were telling the prior caller, and I was laughing because I was like, oh my God, she's so on the money. Yes, that's one of the reasons I canceled with you, but not really. My health issues were pretty bad. I'm actually feeling
but again, your
better
health
in the health
were
area.
Bad, which
but
is telling
yeah,
me
this
that
guy. You know, I was dating two guys at the same time. This one I fell in love with. I didn't want to, actually. Not really my type, like physically shorter for me. And just, you know, Latino like me. But, you know, I thought he had his total crap together. And he doesn't, but all of us have some kind of baggage. But I don't know. I loved him, and I thought he loved
me,
and he...
When you're in love and you're happy, your diabetes, which is an autoimmune disorder, doesn't get worse. So the fact
no,
that
it got worse. Like, before my birthday, you know, I had a birthday July 26th, and that was kind of ruined. My family is like a little wackadoo. My mother has been doing so well. She took a little turn for the worst. Little dementia has set in. So he's got issues with his family, too. His mother, he kind of takes care of like I do. But he's got, like, messed up siblings. None of them do anything, sort of like my end. And we do everything. And it's like... time, and he hasn't been abusive to me. He's helped me so much. And then, like, we're happy, and then he freaks out. If he too much stress, he can't handle it. And we were back a couple of days ago, and then again he texts me today, and I'm like a mess. My whole day, I had things to do. I couldn't even function. And that's not me. Usually, like, I'm okay, and I can talk about it, but, you know, he's also got a daughter that has some issues, and I took a liking
to
her,
we
and I need to step away,
Eleanor.
I think. I definitely knew her in another life, the kid. It's his adopted child. He's really a good man, and I think I've also maybe not wanted to talk to you. I think that's what it was, because maybe you were going to tell me something I didn't want to hear, probably.
Okay, and part of it is he's a good man, but good men don't break up with us, say, I love you, but I'm breaking up with you. I mean, shows a level of narcissism. How come he doesn't care about what he's doing to you?
Well, he says that he's not, I deserve better, and that he can't give me the time I need, and he just wants to be friends right now.
I deserve better is narcissism, manipulation. You know, it's a nicer version of manipulation. Don't tell me what I deserve or what I need. Let me tell you what I need or deserve.
Mm-hmm.
It's reverse playing the game. A blemish, there's nothing wrong with you, it's wrong with him. But he's not unlike the last call, Eleanor. That's why I left Eleanor on the line a long time, because I know that our listeners are all stuck between people who can't make up their minds, who can't make up the decision. Because there's so many divorces and children involved and this and that, the lines are getting really mucky. But the problem is because these men can't commit. They were with women they weren't all that in love with. They committed commitment phobia. Now when they're brought soulmates, they run from that, keep one foot here, one foot there. There's always an excuse why they can't grow up and be men.
Well, I felt that he reminds me a lot of my dad. I think that's why I connected to him so fast, but I really didn't like him. No offense, but I'm a Leo. He's a Virgo. I'm not really crazy about Virgos. The women I don't get along with that well, but, you know, I work well with them. But I see that he was such a hard worker and, like, all these good qualities about him. But he did tell me, like, his whole life, like, I think what's hurting me the most is we became really good friends. So not only do I lose my lover, but I lost my friend. So,
and again,
you know, I think it's just hard for me.
Because soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. And he associates love with pain and dysfunction.
Yeah,
as
he had such a dysfunctional
Eleanor
family,
guy,
which
is
a lot like my dad, you know, and I came from such loving parents, so just hurts really bad. Like, I can't fix it, I don't think, you know, and I really want to help, you know. I'm going back to school to be a therapist, and I'm like, oh, my God, how can I be a therapist if I can't even, you know, fix my own life?
Well, again, it's not hard. It's easier to fix someone else's than our own. But the point is,
yeah, I know.
The point is, he's afraid of commitment. He's afraid of growing up. He's running when unhealed issues are surfacing.
Even when I'm offering
his mom
to
and your mom
give him like everything,
first.
Like even
his
like
mom
help.
And your mom can't come first. Okay, they've had their lives. You guys have to come first, and I'm even going to disagree with what Nicole said. Children don't come first, because my generation did that. We put our kids first, and we've raised some of the most drug-infested, narcissistic pieces of shit in the history of the world, putting them first.
True,
okay?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Soulmates come first. That's the primary unit of the world. In an ideal world, children are a product of that love, and they go off and find their own. It's soulmate your children and then parents. You know, he can't put his mother first because these are manipulators. First of all, I'm a mother. I have a grown daughter. I don't ask her to take care of me or manipulate her to be here for me.
But she's sick. I kind of understand because all his brothers and sisters are kind of like They're very dysfunctional.
How old is this woman?
She's like my mom's age, about 80.
Okay. And,
she has two aides, but it's only like at night. On the weekend. It's just like always something. And it's like all the stress, like he can't handle it. And then when I help him with it, three times we've like broken up. You know, it's my temper and then him. But if I need him, he'll like come back. And he needs to just tell me I'm the type of person that's it. Because I've had a lot of relationships, you know, and I haven't fallen in love maybe in 15 years, 16, it's a long time for me to love, you know, and I think, you know, I think I was ready, and I thought he was, but it's like all bombarding, you know, and I'm trying to help him. I'm even saying, you know, if we can only see each other once or twice, it is what it is. There's no cheating in there. There's no that I don't think we want other people. I don't feel that, but my psychic ability could be off. You know,
but again,
that's one of the reasons I didn't call you. Like, I didn't want to hear or even read my own card.
Can you just be quiet for 1 minute, Diane?
Yes, I'll shut up.
You can find all kinds of reasons why it's not the right time to love. My mommy this, my dad this. God knows what time it's on the planet. If God brought love,
exactly.
It's time for love. So you two would have to put each other first. His mom has two live-in aides. You have two aides that come there. You know, people don't have to sacrifice every minute to these people. And putting that first is an excuse. He's looking for excuses.
So he just doesn't want me.
My parents were dying when I met TJ. They were dying, both of them. And I work an 80-hour work week. That didn't mean I didn't have time for love.
Right.
So, again, we can make a million excuses why we don't have time. It's not the right day. It's not the right this. People who are ready for love accept the gift and put that and treasure it. And, you know, even if you had to go sleep over there at his mother's house with him, you do what you got to do to make it work.
He doesn't want me to meet his family, you know, that he'll get in a fight with them. They're lowlifes. You know, I mean, we're both Latino. I come from middle class, upper middle class. He came from very poor. He worked himself up. I mean, I get it. I have cousins that are a little dysfunctional too, but you know, we're all, you know, he doesn't get me, I don't think either. Like, I don't really care. You know, I'm not a judging soul. I really don't judge people.
But he's judgmental. He's judging his family.
Oh my God, yes.
He's judging what you can handle. So let me tell you, the man is manipulative. He's telling you're too good for me. That's a form of manipulation. And two, he's judging his family, what you'll think, what you can do, when you can see. He's a manipulative and judgmental man. He might be a nicer version of it, but he's got traits that are not very fixable.
Mm.
So start looking at
it. He really just doesn't want me, or he just,
no, he doesn't.
You know.
He doesn't want to change his viewpoint of life, which is he's a victim, everybody sucks.
Yeah.
And now when you're given an opportunity to see the world through different eyes, he's going back to his old life. Sometimes people just don't want a better life.
Wow.
They can't accept a better life. They want to play victim. They want to think everybody's bad and everything stinks and he's the victim and he has to take care of his mother and woe with me.
Mm.
So anybody who's going to tell you, you know, and break up with you, and this is not normal. That's narcissism. Nice people do not break up with people for no reason. Or for a little reason, and hurt them, and make all this drama. And first of all, he thinks love is drama. His whole family are drama kings and queens. This is drama. Love is not drama. Love is
you.
No,
it's not.
You treasure them, and two healed people, love is easy. They're not looking for trouble. They're not blowing things out of proportion, and they're not breaking up every day and making some like drama here. This is like grade school.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm a teenager. Like, I'm so upset after I'm so focused. It's like, but I don't understand why, like, you know, I've been doing so well, and I guess I let this person into my life.
And again,
you know?
Maybe you had a level of commitment phobia. So God brought you a closet commitment phobic, and what you're seeing is love without commitment is pain. Maybe you need to examine until you stop thinking you can't let somebody in or you're going to get hurt. They're only going to bring you people who will hurt you.
Yeah.
I mean, you let him in, so you've enjoyed it. You've learned something. But all this drama is not healthy. And it's not good for your diabetes. It's not good for your health.
No.
But But again, why do people mistake drama for passion? Drama is not passion. Drama unhealed people. Their lives are, when you're near unhealed people, it's always a drama. They got a splinter. They're dying. They got this. It's this. They got this. They're always screaming and yelling and freaking fucking out. Okay? For the most part, life should go very easily for most days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once in a while, there's a flood. Okay? And life gets a little more dramatic. But for the
like
most
I had
part,
yesterday. I had my car was flooded. Brand new Altima. So that's okay. I was blessed. Everyone else was much worse than me. I just had my back seat, the floor, while everybody had like half of the car. So Farmingdale got pretty flooded. It was weird.
Yes, they did, but realize, once in a while we have the floods. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you don't want to be with people that every day's drama.
No, and the weird thing was when I met, he doesn't really like drama. He told me he couldn't take, because I'm a little high-spirited, but I'm not,
drama,
but it's like he does like it. You're right.
Because people tell us they don't want drama, but they break up three times, and how long have you been with him now?
4 months.
Okay, 3 breakups in 4 months. I think that's pretty dramatic. And the prince that becomes the beast becomes very apparent by 4 months.
Mm.
And you could see he's narcissistic, he's manipulative, he's judgmental, he's a drama king. He said he wants love, but he's running from it and sabotaging it. 4 months, you should be on your honeymoon. People should be so happy.
Well, we had that planned, and that's another thing I don't understand, Cindy. How do you spend money? You buy tickets for Mets games. You buy me, I've been dying to see Cinderella on Broadway. You put money down on Vegas. All these things. Why would he spend money when he doesn't make that much?
Because he's a thrill seeker.
Because he's trying to wine and dine you.
People that are addicted to drama, it's the reason why they are attracted to drama. It's the thrill. It's that rush of adrenaline, just like people that like to cliff dive and this and that. When you fight with somebody, there is an adrenaline rush in there. And they mistake that adrenaline rush with the feeling of being alive, being not ordinary, being extraordinary. But being that way doesn't make you extraordinary. All it does is take you out of what would otherwise be the mundane. Okay, so what they do is that they start spending money and they want to travel and they want to go here and there, and because it's exciting. And that's why they do half the things that they do. It's for that excitement. They're seeking thrills. They're stirring up drama and conflict, and they're blowing things out of proportion just to get that thrill and that rush of having to deal with that conflict and that small little thing that has now gotten blown up. They do it with something as small as, you said you were going to call me in an hour and you called me in an hour and a half, and they do it with something as large as, hey, let's just take off and go to Vegas for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
same thrill. And realize that unhealed people use drama to avoid intimacy. They'd rather fight. Because then all of a sudden you're not being intimate. Two people who are healed really don't fight. I mean, it just isn't what you want to do. You love the person. It's peaceful. It's not filled with drama. And, of course, he associates love with pain. And people who associate love with pain will always make love a painful experience. But
I mean, I can't even tell you. We were fine Thursday, and then I don't even know the freaking day anymore. It's Tuesday. And now, 2 days later, because I get his text in the morning from work, and I'm on my way out, and actually I had to go to meet for school, that I start school, and I couldn't even go. I was so upset.
Well,
I can't do this anymore.
Not for nothing.
You know, let's be friends.
I would smack a man from here to Oshkosh that would
do this. And you know what it is? He
texts
me, because I think, I don't know, am I right, that he's maybe afraid of me a little?
Well, first of all, texting is not a form of communication. So a man who texts me would automatically cross off my list. You got something?
I know, it's annoying, and I have carpal tunnel,
me.
So I don't like to text. So I have stressed that, and then he stopped for a while. He was just calling me. But I think when he can't face, he runs.
Right.
You know?
And first of all, this is not healthy. The prince has become the beast. 4 months is the outer limits when people are unhealed. He can't sustain being normal for more than 4 months. He can't.
Yeah.
He has issues. And if you're going to stick around and try to fix him, you're going to be hurt. You're going to learn you can't fix people. People like this do not want to be fixed.
So why does he want to be friends? Why doesn't he just say, goodbye, you know, I don't love you anymore.
Because it's
like
an addiction.
He wants his cake and eat it
too. It's like an addiction. What is he going to do if he's not fighting with you?
Yeah.
Now he's got to find somebody else.
Well, the sex is very good, so that could be it. He wants the sex, you know.
Well, first of all,
the
sex is good. What the hell is he breaking up with you for?
It's the whole package.
He tells me that he's not okay, you know, like he needs some, he's got issues. He's not okay in the head sometimes. And I'm like.
Okay, so what do you not believe in?
I do believe him now. He just said it today. It wasn't the past breakups. The past breakups, my temper's too bad. Everything, it was something with me, and then it was our mother.
Okay, that's a narcissist. Can't you see
projection.
That he's blaming you? Now he's got a new routine. It's him.
Yeah.
It's all narcissism. All this drama are narcissists. People who are
And normally I would have been like, you know, I said to him, if I didn't love you, I would have, like, kicked you to the curb already. You know, I'm normally not that,
but
I had a very abusive marriage. You know, very dysfunctional years ago, and that's why I've been like commitment issues all these years. I've been happy and not happy being single, you know, so, you know, I just thought I turned 50. I said, wow, this is good. You know, all these, we had like a great birthday. It just, I just, whatever. It's just,
and again,
bad.
Know
it's
that
bad. Yeah, you're right.
You
I can't do nothing about
it. You
didn't
learn from your ex in 20 years. It didn't take you married 10 years to find out the prince that became the beast. In 4 months, you've learned what took you probably years and years to learn. This
True.
Man is not fixable. He doesn't want to be fixed. And
yeah.
that love brings up unhealed issues, and what people do is sabotage it and run. But love is a wake-up call, and he's not going to get another wake-up call through love. The next ones will be hurt and pain. So the problem is that people do not know to stick it through and see what's here and why am I feeling this way and let me work
well, that's
on
what
it.
I said to him. I said, I want to be happy. You want to be miserable? I mean, go ahead,
well,
be miserable. Like, I can't, yeah, can't do it no more than I guess.
Miserable.
It's just sad, you know? It's sad.
It's sad because he threw away love. That's what it is. It's sad, but better you know now in 4 months. Pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing and pray to be the same. If it's this guy, so be it. If it's someone else, then let that be brought on. But if you examine it, there were red flags probably from the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
That you made excuses for. I mean, this is not the course of love. When you meet someone, it should be like for a very long time, really, 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 really nice. I mean, why is it that love goes so toxic so fast? That is not healthy. Healthy people do not throw love away and do not make it toxic.
And when you start off young, maybe there's not so much you like when you're young. You know, but as you get older, too, you know, it's harder to meet people that don't have as much baggage, you know. They bring it with them.
And again, and people have a lot of baggage. Just know that when you're a healed person, you're not looking for trouble. You're not looking for trouble. You're looking to, if you've screwed up love once or you've had love that didn't work, you learn. You're not screwing it up again. But narcissists and commitment phobics are always narcissistic. They don't care how they hurt other people. He doesn't care that his breaking up with you is breaking your heart. He cares about, he doesn't want to go to his unhealed issues and heal them.
Right.
He doesn't want to give up his thinking that love is pain. You know, and this is something that, you know,
even his own daughter said to me, my dad is selfish, and I feel bad. He adopted children, and I feel bad for the kid. I have some connection to her. I don't know what it is, maybe because I don't have kids of my own, but I just like her. I feel she's very psychic and she's just troubled, and I think it's due to him and his ex-wife. You know, she kind of abandoned them, the mother. So it's just, I feel sad. So I don't know. I was questioning myself, did I meet him for her? Or did I meet him? Because, no, and I feel
it's not
he
your
is.
Job to rescue her, save her. She was there to, hopefully you could have shown her what soulmate love looks like. Now that this is no longer soulmate, your job is done with her. Because this is not showing her good. This is just showing her more of love starts out good and then it sucks.
Exactly.
So at this point, you're to show her that even a woman who's good and cares about a man will not stick around and be abused. Maybe she needs to learn that so she doesn't take an abusive man in her life and keep him forever.
Well, that's what I had said to her. I said, don't depend on any man. I said, you know, I always took care of myself somehow. You know, I said, you can't do that.
But she's also witnessing you take his abuse. And
well, now she is. You know, she is now, and she won't be anymore. but she feels sad. She texts me, and she's got a son. She's not a kid, you know. To me,
well,
she's an adult.
She's not a kid.
She's 27, but
she
acts like a kid a little, and
because
she didn't have a mother, she's kind of. I think she was reaching for me a little bit.
Diane, there's nothing that says that she can't text you. Don't talk to me about your father. Your father's done. That chapter.
Yeah, I don't
want to
cut her off and be like a bitch, you know, like,
you don't have
I'm sorry.
And you know what? And if she chooses to gravitate away from you after a while, then so be it. But you know what? Maybe what she needs to see is her not having, is the example of no matter how hard it is, of walking away when the chips are down and you have to walk away for self-preservation, period. You know? And the bottom line is that look at what you've experienced in 4 months. If you continue with this man, the same dysfunction that he's trying to shield you from with his family, you're going to have in your house. He's going to bring that dysfunction right there because he's already bringing it into your relationship.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you. And
thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much, guys. It was always nice to you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Diane.
Bye.
Oh, boy. So much, so much love goes good to bad so fast, doesn't it?
I know.
Wow. Anyway, we have the other caller. You said Alicia?
Yes, we have Alicia, and she is in Long Island. And actually, Alicia called in about a year ago, and, you told her some things, and she's just calling back to give you an update on how her year went, Cindy, and she wants to know what the cards are saying for next year.
Perfect.
Hello, Alicia. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Alicia. So what's happening in your world?
I remember I called last year, and I was going through a lot with, not having a job, and then my boyfriend was trying to, contact me again, and I was just, in a really, funk. But I actually ended up getting a nice job. But things on, the love end aren't really... I don't see them coming as good.
Are you doing anything to find anybody? Are you sitting watching TV and you think God's going to airdrop him into your house? Are you doing anything?
No, I've been very, social, going out. I mean,
good.
I've been dating, but it just seems like the guys that I've been dating aren't ready for relationships. And
old are you, by the way? How old are you, by the
27.
Way? 27. Okay. Your generation of men don't seem to be very able to commit. You know that. They don't want to grow up. It's not that easy to find someone, and you do want a soulmate, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
And that's why, the universe could bring you something less than a soulmate much easier. But let me see what's happening this year for you. Okay, this is a year that you should be able to find love. When's your birth date? Just the month and the day.
November 9th.
Okay, good. So you are starting a new birthday year in November. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so somewhere along in that line of coming in toward the beginning of your birthday year should come love. You're a little afraid of being hurt, too. Do you know that?
Yes. I am.
And you give off some vibrations to men that you're not interested, you're taken. So you might have to work on that. You're not giving off the warmest, fuzziest vibrations to men. Players will come up to you because they don't care if you reject them or not. For every 99 women they approach, they get laid once. They don't care. But good, you are not giving out such a warm vibration to men.
Right.
Are you aware of that?
I figured that a little bit, but I try to be more, open and stuff like that. And
you're a little intimidating, honey. And and I know you're the warmest, little fuzziest thing to your friends and everybody, but, guys, you're giving them off a little bit. First of all, you're a good catch. So some men think you're either taken, you're not interested. Others are thinking you're a snob. And then you could be a lipstick lesbian, so the other men aren't coming up to you. They're not quite sure.
Right.
So you might, if you see a guy and you're out and he's looking over at you, but he's a little shy, you might have to go up to a guy and talk. The shy men really don't really know how to approach women that well. So if you're expecting the men to make all the moves,
mm-hmm.
the only men who make all the moves are players.
Right.
So I want you to, you know, meditate on the fact that you've been a little afraid of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the universe doesn't want to bring something that you may run from. Did you? All the calls that we had tonight are on the same theme, people running from love. Okay, do you see that?
I mean, I just found out.
However they sabotage it one way or the other. Now,
I just found out that my ex-boyfriend ended up getting married, like, last month, so that was kind of like...
Okay, but if you wanted a man to fit a plan, Alicia, I'll go on Match.com and find you somebody to marry in 2 months. Okay.
I tried that. It didn't work.
Okay.
I deleted all my accounts.
He doesn't want a soulmate, your ex. He wants a woman to fit a plan, somebody he could cheat on and lie to and not heal, and she won't care, and she just wants babies and get married.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. Now, you want a soulmate. Now, soulmates, Eleanor... And Diane both had soulmates. Diane's only lasted 4 months before it fell apart. People are given soulmate love. 45% of people are offered that love. 1% maintain it because they have to heal big issues.
Right.
Your ex doesn't want to heal big issues, so he found a mediocre version of love. This way he doesn't have to heal. You're a little bit afraid. And you're giving off vibrations of it, and you're scaring people away. You're afraid it's going to go good to bad again. You don't want to get hurt. And the only way we're never going to – look, Diane hadn't had love in 15 years. She didn't let it in. Now she let it in, and she got someone who couldn't commit and got hurt. But God said, well, because we weren't going to bring you the real soulmate yet, because you probably would have run away and screwed it up. So let's let him screw it up. Now you're going to see soulmate love without commitment is pain. And when we bring you a soulmate, you'll step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a little bit afraid, but it will be here. And don't start thinking, well, he's found somebody and all of that. You know, it just goes to show you were going to maybe marry him yourself, and look how fast he could replace you. Isn't that a little bit scary?
Yeah.
And,
definitely. And we actually plan to get married.
Okay.
We did.
And this is you with a really good guy. Write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. Try to talk to guys and, you know, give them a break here too. But the guy
is coming. I'm talking to someone right now, but I don't know like if it's worth my time.
How long have you been talking to him?
For like 2 weeks.
Okay, and where did you meet him?
At work. He wants to see me every day before I walk into the office, like before I leave. He comes to see me and we hang out sometimes after work. But I just don't know where it might be headed.
Okay, and again, that's because your generation doesn't even start relationships out correctly. If you're hanging out and talking, why isn't he asking you out for a real date?
Yeah.
Okay, it's mixed messages.
He's a homebody and stuff like that. He doesn't really... You know, he doesn't like to go to the movies and stuff, and I get that. But,
okay, so he wants to stay home. Like, there's something really wrong with your generation of men. They don't want to take a woman out to dinner. They don't want to go out on a date. What's the matter with these guys?
I don't know.
Already realize, well, huh? I want a guy that wants to go out on a date. You know, it's something that. It's ridiculous here. So was he going to only see you before after work? Like, what are you in third grade?
Right.
Again, your generation's immature. Can you see that?
Right.
And talking with him is nice, but if you're feeling something, it's got to be a date. Doesn't he? You know, why don't these men want to take women out? I don't get this.
Yeah.
And, you know, even you could ask him out. He doesn't want to go to the movies. There's other things to say, the movies. He doesn't want to go for a walk. You want to go to the beach. You want to go out. You know, you want to go to a restaurant. You want to go to a play. There's a million things you could do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he might not be the most creative guy in the deck here. So, his idea of a good time is watching reruns, you know. But what's the matter with your men? They don't want to even go out and make love and be with a woman. What's with this? I don't get this.
Right.
But know that you will be with a soulmate. Don't waste too much time with this guy if it's not moving somewhere forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call him and let us know what happens in the next 2 weeks. See if he wants to do something. Ask him, you want to go here or there? If he goes, well, I like to be home. Well, come on. Do you want to be with that? How old is he, 80?
He's 34.
Oh, come on. He's like 34 going on 19. He wants to stay home and play video games in the basement. Come on. You know, I mean, come on. You know, you got to laugh at it.
Right.
His idea of a, you know, only thing going out is to a movie? Come on.
Yeah.
Call in and let us know what happens, but it's time for you. Love will be there for you.
Okay.
Don't get discouraged. And again, you know, you don't want to be with a boy, do you?
No.
Don't you want a man?
Of course. That's what I want. And I kind of been brushing people off because I'm like, oh, this is a boy. I need a man. Bye.
Again, the men want to watch video games and porn all day, and they don't want to grow up. I mean, come on.
True. I mean, they don't want to put in the work.
If there wasn't so much internet porn, the men might come out of their homes for women. You know, it's like,
know,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible generation. Really, it's horrible. This is,
right,
like, unheard of in the history of the world. Men used to, like, do cartwheels to be with women.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Definitely.
I mean, what happened to that? You know, they wouldn't even fight with us.
Back.
They wanted sex. Men wouldn't fight. They wanted sex. Hey, I'm not fighting with my girl. I want sex tonight. Come on. What's with these guys? They do nothing but fight with women. I never saw anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
All right.
Well,
I'll
good luck to you.
Please.
Call in and let us know, okay? See if you can move this forward. I mean, if he says he doesn't want to leave the house, I'd run for the hills for this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I spoke to him about it today. He said he's willing to go places, but, you know, he's a real homebody. But other than that, we'll see.
Oh, he'd be willing to come out of the home. You know,
yeah,
I mean, you're a homebody when you're married. You know, he's not married yet. You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you don't mind if he wants to stay home with you when you're married, but who's he staying home with? Who's he live with?
Oh, he lives by himself.
Okay, so I mean, he wants to stay home by himself all the time.
I mean, and he has like a.
He doesn't invite you to his home.
He does. No, hanging out after work is we, you know, I would go over there and we would hang out and he plays the guitar and he'll sing like a few songs, but
yeah,
they
don't want to spend any money. These guys don't want to spend a dime.
Right.
I mean, come on, they don't want to spend Starbucks. I mean, come on.
You know, we connect so well because a part of me being attracted to somebody is me having like a conversation with them and them actually like intriguing me and stuff like that. So I just don't want to end up falling for him, and he turns out to be, like, a monster.
Well, already he hasn't started out on a date. Oh, man, you have to go on a date, too, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I'll take
spend $1.50 on me. Take me to McDonald's dollar meal. Come on. Something.
Yeah, definitely. I understand. But thank you so much, Cindy.
Okay, good luck to you. We're at the end of our show. Thank you, Nicole. I'm glad we finally got online tonight.
Oh, yes, finally. And you know what? We did not get a chance to hear Desmond. So what we'll do is, Desmond, if you email Cindy what your question is and your phone number next week, we will make sure that we pick you first. All right?
Exactly.
Since we queued you up and we couldn't get to you, all right? But thank you guys very much for calling. Thank you to all of our callers who constantly support Cindy. And, Cindy, thank you very much for all of your
hi. Did you notice the commitment issue was all night tonight?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
I think
that
well,
I'm glad we're committed, uh-huh.
Oh, absolutely.
Bye, I'll see
all right,
you
guys.
Next week.
Good
bye.
Night.